Industry and government face a shortage of skilled cybersecurity employees. At least everyone says so. A survey of several hundred global IT leaders delivers a resounding affirmation of that belief. And most of them say government inaction is partly to blame for the shortage. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has details.
The new report by the Center for Strategic and International Studies at Intel Security shed light on the extent to which the talent shortage is a problem not just for government agencies, but also for private companies who are often able to offer higher salaries to compete for skilled experts. 82% of corporate and government IT professionals surveyed in the U.S., the U.K., Australia, France, Germany, Israel, Japan, and Mexico said they're unable to fill the positions they need to with adequately trained and experienced people, and they don't see the picture improving anytime soon. On average, they expect 15% of their critical cyber positions to remain unfilled by the year 2020. And 71% said the shortage was causing direct and measurable damage to their organizations. Candace Worley is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Intel Security.
When you have open recs, when you have positions that are not filled in your cybersecurity organization, in all probability, that means either the people that you have on staff are working 24 hours a day, which means they're headed for burnout, or they're probably, you know, not quite as alert the next morning as they might have been had they got a good night's sleep. But it also means that there's probably things that are not getting done. So when you have open positions, you're probably going to look at the things that are least critical, not that they're not critical, they're least critical, and those are going to be the things that get traded off. Because you can't ignore an incident that's occurred. You have to do the incident response. You can't ignore a potential breach that you suspect may have occurred. But you might delay that patching of the operating system or the application.
As to the reasons for the shortage, 76% said the problem was caused in part by the fact that their governments weren't investing enough in training a workforce with cyber skills.
The respondents felt universally across the globe that governments could be doing more, that they were not doing enough to help build the cybersecurity talent funnel, that governments could play a more active role. I think, you know, Intel Security is being very proactive in terms of trying to work in partnership with governments, as well as, frankly, with some of our customers and with other vendors in the industry to try to figure out how do we solve this problem and build the security talent pipeline. We work with a number of universities. We work with some of the government agencies in putting together programs that will help to try to drive that pipeline development. I think we're also doing things at a very young age. So we have a program where we have a set of materials that our employees can volunteer to use, go out to their local schools, and teach online security, getting them aware that cyber is an issue, that being online is an issue and they need to be concerned about that, starts to plant that seed in their mind that computers are more than, you know, the gaming console, they're more than social chat, that there are implications to being online, and hopefully planting those seeds so that when they get to high school and college, we can have that discussion with them about cybersecurity as a career.
Dr. Phyllis Schneck, the Deputy Undersecretary of Homeland Security for Cybersecurity, says while her workforce within the National Protection and Programs Directorate is top-notch, it's also undersized, partially because of an inadequate pool of job candidates. She says DHS is trying to remedy the problem by creating more opportunities for workers to move back and forth between the private sector and government, a strategy that's also better suited to the workforce trends of a millennial generation that prefers not to stay in any one job for too long.
Get the financial benefit of working in the private sector. Get that chance to innovate and build big things and understand the corporate side and the sales side, the importance of building and shaping a market. How do we also let them have this experience in government and see things they've never seen before? I can tell you that being in our shop makes your skills the sharpest. It trains you that you really don't need to sleep. That's overrated. But you will constantly run, you'll constantly be excited, and you come out of that shop the sharpest you've ever been in your career. How can we give those skills to young students, let them transfer those over to the private sector, so you do a tour of duty in government, a tour of duty in private sector, and kind of go back and forth? Our management director calls this a passport, so you might not have to do all of your forms again and go through all that vetting again, you just kind of go in and out. And how do we build that professional so that we have a new way, a new career path that is high impact, highly promotional, and enables people to, if we do it right, they'll be making the most money when their kids go to college, so that it's not a financial issue, but you see the best of industry, you see the best of government, and you can bring the best of both to each world.
Schneck says DHS is also looking for ways to use government funds to pay for students' college education in exchange for a commitment that they stay in a federal cyber position for a certain period of time.
We would figure out a way to help them in a career path that would be mentored and guided by both the government and the private sector. We would build on the success of a program that we've had a lot of good results from called Scholarship for Service that we co-fund with the National Science Foundation. I speak at that almost every year, and there must be 1,000 students that come to that dinner, and they actually listen to our talk before the food, so I know they're interested. But they have always come to us and said, all the ones that have come to DHS have come back to us and said, I want to come back.
An approach that uses government positions and scholarships as the launching pad for a cyber career would also seem to address another key finding in the CSIS Intel survey, in which a majority of executives said they wanted job applicants to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree in a relevant field, but real-world training and experience is even more important. Again, Intel's Candace Worley.
So although they required, most of them required a technical degree, it was kind of the third priority for them in terms of looking at a candidate to determine whether or not they were the best candidate for the job. Things like that professional experience, hacking competitions, and professional certifications, they actually ranked more important. So kind of an interesting dichotomy. I really want a technical degree, but boy, if you don't have experience or hacking competitions or professional certificates, maybe you fall further down on my recruitment list. So kind of an interesting statistic that came out of the survey.
The federal government has been trying to address the broader challenge of quantity and quality within the U.S. cybersecurity workforce since the implementation of the first National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education Framework, led by the National Institute of Standards and Technology in April of 2013. The framework is due for an update, expected to be released this fall. Rodney Peterson, the director of the NICE initiative, says the framework will emphasize alternative entry points into a cyber career.
The traditional pipeline that I think most of us are familiar with of students going through, you know, K through 12 school and a university and then to the employer is not the only pathway to getting into cybersecurity. It's an important pathway and it's a long-term pathway that we certainly want to invest in and improve upon. But there are other pathways, including the fact that a lot of cybersecurity professionals could change jobs mid-career and already have a bachelor's degree in a field like psychology and want to get some skills and training, whether it's through a training certification program or through a community college degree, non-degree program. So our other goal and our strategy is to not only nurture this diverse workforce or learning community, but to also accelerate learning and skills development. And then the final pathway is to recognize that the training, the education, the skills development that are happening in our high schools and in our community colleges, training certification providers, are as much value as what happens in a traditional university setting. So I think we need to think more broadly about that diverse learning community and not just focus on the traditional pipeline that's going to be certainly an important long-term solution, but not the only solution.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to FederalNewsRadio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.